Hey, what up? It's Killer Mike checking in at nappyafro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. Why sound rap gang, bang, bang, bang. Run the jewels on food. And I'm gone. Yeah.
Nappyafro.com.
You're now tuned into the dopest podcast for the illest website on the internet. This is the Frocast, episode 104. God damn, that's a lot of episodes. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Ricenberg, sitting there with the homie. We're taking it back to the roots, King Germ. Say what's up to the people, bro.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. Francis Underwood, a.k.a.
You're so stupid, man. You're so damn stupid, man. I got to say shout out to GQ Blue, man. Keep your head up. Shout out to
anybody come to see you, Otis. That's what he told us. Let's keep it real. We said Blue. Blue said, nah, I'm trying to do my own thing. I said, nah, Blue, you know, then he just said, look, I'm not going to come to see you, Otis. I mean, he just told me straight up.
Ah, that's fucked up, man. Keep your head up, bro. Be easy. Keep your STDs light, man. I don't know what else to tell you. We about to jump into this show, man. Me and Jerv been wanting to talk about this shit for a minute. So this is what happens when you leave us alone on the Frocast. We talk about the shit we want to talk about, like Friday Night Tights.
Woo.
Now, you got me interested in this show.
Yes, yes.
I sat down and I watched all five episodes, out of order, of course, because that's what black people do. But I watched all five, and we came to the same conclusion. It's the Outlaws.
And the Coats.
And the Colts.
The Outlaws is number one, but the Colts is number two. You know, they're close number two. And people, if you don't know what we talk about, Friday Night Tights, it centers around the TIFA, which is the Texas Youth Football Association. It's in San Antonio. This show follows around five teams, and it basically gives you a behind-the-scenes look at what these coaches go through, what the players go through. And let me tell you about this. This is not your normal youth football league. I mean, this league has their own radio network.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's let them understand how big this fucking league is. I'm talking about these are kids that are 9 to 13.
No, 8 or 9 years old. These just
I thought the big motherfucker on the Outlaws, I thought he was 13.
No, that was going against a bigger team. They were scrimmaging, but the actual show is talking about the 8 and 9 year old team, the juniors.
God, them niggas are huge, like you said, Paul.
Yes, these are some of the biggest kids I've ever seen in my life.
These motherfuckers are giants, but they have their own stadiums. The coach of the one of the weakest teams in the league said that he spent $16,000 on equipment for these kids.
On equipment.
This shit is crazy. And these are kids that are only going to be there for, what, a year, 2 years, and they out?
2 years. Yeah, 8 or 9, and they moving up. Like, this is it. And then, you know, and you know, I've heard different things about how much it costs to play in this league. I've heard one mom, she added me on Twitter, said she's one of the Outlaws moms. As a matter of fact, she's a quarterback mom. She added me on Twitter. Her name is Deborah Coley, at Deb Coley, whatever, something, Coley mom, I don't know her, you know, but she follows me, and one of the coaches from the Outlaws, Coach Grumpy, he follows me.
Oh, shit.
Yes, so we were chatting on Twitter one day, and, you know, I heard it's like 175, but then my cousin, he lives in San Antonio, said the coach from the Junior Broncos, Charles, told him it was $400, it's like $300-some dollars, so I don't know who to believe, you know, but my kid was going to be playing for the Outlaws anyway, so it'd be 175.
Can the slander start right now?
Slander can start right now. Pew! Let's go.
Junior Broncos says that it's $400. Didn't he just end up breaking up with his wife and getting put out the house?
Let me tell you about his wife. His wife is a, can I say the C word? I mean, it is Black History Month, but I'm going to say the C word.
She's a cunt.
Why is she a cunt? Your husband is a fucking football coach. She's going to have the nerve to say, well, I mean, it was one thing when our kids was out there playing, but now my kid's not playing. He's a fucking coach. You just can't coach your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know your kid's gonna grow up one day. And if he's dedicated coaching like he is, he still got a coach. You know, he spends more time out there than da-da-da-da. Now, I'm not saying what he's not doing when he get home.
Right.
But you understand you are married to a coach, lady. It happens. Okay. She's doing football season.
She picked the worst dude and the worst time. Like, the dude that she's married to works at he works for a car dealership?
He's in the shop. Yeah, he's like the shop, the
he's
service.
He's a shop manager, yeah. so he's already working 12 or 13 hours. And then he leaves there and goes to coach these kids for another 4 hours. And then you want to leave him at the middle of the season. You ain't do this shit in the off season. You did this shit right after the second game, after they lost 0-2.
I mean, it was like, yeah, you talking about some, hey, I don't know, I don't know how this is gonna happen. I don't think it's gonna work. And you lead a man. Like, I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I'm not too pleased about her. Another mom that I really don't like. Okay. And that is the mom from The Outlaws that gets all the TV time. She talks the most trash. She talks grade A shit to the opponent's teams, to the opponent's fans, to anybody that's listening, and your son is garbage.
You're not even saying it right. You're not giving him a good picture. She has Chance.
Chance. I mean, she taunts. She taunts. Yeah. The other team, I mean, like she came, like she, her son is not an original outlaw. He came from a losing team over to the Outlaws. So I'm pretty sure she got tired of getting beat by the Outlaws. So she brought her son over there to play with the Outlaws, to play on the winning team. And he don't need, this motherfucker play ass back. People, if you don't know what ass back is, this is when you go to the coach and say, Coach, can I get in the game? Coach looks at you and get your ass back on the bench. That's the position her son played.
Not only that, she out there running the drills with him in practice.
He crying. I mean, he's garbage. He's garbage. And she talked the most shit. And that's why I really don't like her. Like, you're just there. You a bandwagon parent. Like, you're not even there. Like, the team you, man, she pisses me off, man. So,
I can't understand I can't think of her name either. Fuck it. We're not giving no shine. I don't understand how we managed to get on a show that gives us a chance to look great. We got black dudes out there working with kids. This is the most black men I've seen on the show with kids.
Oh, all right. So you didn't read the news stories that came about the show.
Come on. A
couple coaches that got suspended. The coach for the Junior Broncos, he got suspended for a year. The coach for the Colts, what's his name? He got suspended for like.
Main coach, Marcerus?
Maricus.
Yeah, Maricus, that's his name.
Yes, I heard he got suspended like 6 games. So it's like some fallout because the dude, Charles, he said this is the worst thing ever happened to him coming on the show. He said he used to be looked at as a good guy in the community. Now he's looked at as like a slime ball. He's getting death threats. He's getting all kind of stuff behind the show.
Which one?
That's the Junior Broncos coach, Charles Kakavekafalafika. Him.
That he's awfully trash to be looked at as the worst one. Like, he's telling
the kids, hey, you hit him right here in the ear hole, knock him out, I don't care if you don't get up. I want you know, little stuff he's saying. You know, like I said, the show, I mean, I would love to be in this environment. I mean, you know, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, would I coach like this? Of course not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but them kids don't, I mean, it's not like them kids whine. Like, I know if I came to practice and conducted a practice like some of these guys, I probably wouldn't be coaching the next week. Just because of how pussy some of the parents are where we coach at. But in Texas, obviously, these guys ain't pussy. Because if you can up there lead a chant with your team and tell them to say, fuck the Rockets, and the kids say it back, and that's
nobody
okay.
Nobody got an ass whooping.
Nobody got a whooping. Coach, I mean, as a coach, I mean, I try to, you know, walk the fine line when I be saying, and this man just said, they be like, hey, we gonna kick their ass on Saturday. They cuss. I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing.
This shit is crazy to me.
I fucking love it, man. I love it, man.
This shit is crazy to me, man. We get that. What I was gonna say before we were talking about the report is that we got to see all these brown and black folks work with these kids, all these black, brown and black men, because we don't get to see enough of us doing shit with kids on TV. And then you got the mom who manages. The mom is basically, she's basically that bitch that hangs on to your son through high school, to college, to the pros, and has a kid by him. And she's that bitch. Mm. But she's that bitch with her son. And is real fucked up. Because she is really already at 8 or 9 years old trying to piggyback off of his success.
I mean, but the sad part is, like, he don't want to be out there, man. Like, for one, he come to practice, and the day he was throwing up at practice, told him, what'd you eat today? Oh, he ate some chicken tenders and fries. Why are you eating chicken before you go to football practice? And mind you, it's 95 degrees. No, that's not even, look at that fact. It's 95 degrees before you go to practice. And you eat chicken and french fries and stuff. Of course you're going to throw up, kid. Like, you can't do that. Right. And then I guess she took the role as momager or general manager, whatever she calls herself. She said, don't call her team mom. But your son is poo. Like, you know what I'm saying? She begging for him to get in the game. And he got in the game that one time. And then he got crack blocked on. I mean, he got crack backed on. It was so, I was just like, damn.
These motherfuckers is terrible, man. Like, the only two ladies that they really talk about on the show is just not a good look. It's not a good look at all. Both of them is terrible. So
all the women on the show horrible, man. The dude, wife leaving him. Hey, this show, hey, it's not a good portrayal of women on the show, ladies.
There's one good one. There's one good one. The little big kid for the Colts, the one that was going to Indiana. His
She's
mom.
Not a good mom. She letting him cook. This little joker, 8, 9 years old, he gets up, cook his own fucking breakfast. I ain't never seen no shit like that before.
He's fucking 5'4" and about 230 pounds.
But look,
he got to cook. That nigga got to make his plate.
And look, he fried a perfect egg, dog. Like, he ain't even scrambled egg. This man fried an egg, sorry. I can't fry egg, man.
But she walked in the bedroom to wake him up, and he was laying down on the bed. His stomach was up to her head.
Yeah.
He was the same height. That motherfucker is a giant, man. So he got to cook his own food. Hey, she got out there. She watched him run his routes. You know, he damn near had a nervous breakdown in the car. He couldn't take it.
I wondered. I was just like, man, I remember that day I ran this kid to death like that. I wondered that he cried in the car like that when he got in the car. I wondered. You know what I'm saying?
That was confirmation. That nigga just locked. Because he did good at practice. He ran the whole, 3 hours after practice?
Hey, he ran the whole. They said they don't practice but 1.5 hours, is what they said.
I've seen seasons change while them niggas practice. They practice forever. So they were doing him dirty. They did him dirty, Jern.
I mean, he missed 2 weeks of practice. He missed all the conditioning.
It ain't his fault. It's his parents' fault. Make the parents.
Exactly. So, but it's like you said, like Coach said, I'm your family too now. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
I pay you for this. You're not my family.
No.
You're hired help.
When you sign, like for instance. Oh, speaking of Friday Night Tykes, this year I'm coming to a crossroads. I don't know if I'm letting my son play for me or not. It's a new team, a traveling team. That he can play for 10, like he can play 10 and under, he can play in his age range, and I'm excited about it, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta go.
Yeah, but I'm gonna stay at my team. I'm staying because I made a commitment. I'm gonna stay there. I'm gonna coach my team. I'm gonna let him play for somebody else this year and see what he do, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think I'm gonna do it. But yeah, you gotta sign up for that like in June. So you already, you know, you locked in, season start. You can't go to grow. Like, I hate when my kids go to grandma's house for the summer. I love it when they go because it's 2 weeks without the kids. But I hate when my son go because when he get to his grandma's house, he don't, you know, they don't tell him no. And my son will eat all day if you let him.
Damn.
I mean, this little joker kid, my son can eat, man. Eat like a grown man. Like, I mean, he been eating like a grown man since he been on Earth.
You got to make him fries on eggs then, man.
I don't let him do nothing. You're not burning me out the house, man. You go in there, you go in the refrigerator, get you a Go-Gurt or some apples, whatever little bag, whatever little fruit. Yeah, but you're not cooking nothing, man. Not without nobody watching, man. I can't do it, man. That's how houses get burned up. And it just tripped me out to see that little 9-year-old kid. He fried a perfect egg. They threw hot sauce on his egg. That's what I said. This dude is a real fucking deal. You know what I'm saying?
He put the hot sauce on that bitch. Was like, let's go.
Yeah, when 9 you don't know eating hot sauce, dog. Like I know I like this shit. Not like, you know. No.
They had him come out to practice, and he ran, though, dog. He said, go ahead and run down in the bushes and keep going until I tell you to stop. And he did that, and then he said, how long did the coach tell you to run? He was exhausted. He just told him to keep running. He said, all right, run down there, touch that sign, and come back. I said, God damn, the dude just ran.
Yeah, ready? The mama was.
Ready yet? Like, you ready?
Just running to death.
Yeah, he's like, you ready yet? Yeah. No, you're not. Go down there and touch it. I was like, shit.
Hey, that shit, but he didn't quit, though. That showed me little man had heart, man. That's why I was like, yo, it's just a lot of things you see these kids. Like, hey, you see that one kid that got laid the fuck out? And then he came back to the game? Oh, like...
Them kids is getting laid out. I've never seen so many concussions, dog. This shit is crazy.
Oh, speaking of which, the Outlaw versus the what game that was where the dad was trying to fight?
Oh, was that wasn't the Predators? You know, I ain't that good at it, but
it was Predators. No, it was the Junior Broncos. It was the Junior Broncos on that little kickoff where the dude let the ball bounce and the dude came down and clapped his ass.
Oh yeah, that was fucking playing the game. It was the first goddamn play of the game. I was like, these dudes, because he, you know, he tried to talk his team, but at that point they 0-3. He like, we're gonna get this.
They won one game. They was 1-3 or something like that.
No, what game? It's two losing ass teams.
They beat something. I think they started out 0-2 started out 0-2, then they won that third game. They didn't beat one of the teams featured on the game. They beat They showed it.
T-shirts.
Yeah, because it was just like
about the T-shirts and shit with permanent market numbers on their shit. Yeah. But then the first game, he got laid out.
Yes. I mean, then the daddy ran on the sideline, was, you know, trying to fight. And then I had retweeted. I was like, dang, the dad ran by. Then they check on his son. He wanted to fight first. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then that's when me and Coach Coley came cool right down. I retweeted it, and then he loved my outlaw tweet. So, you know, shout out to Coach Coley, man.
I mean, goddamn Predators laid out cold. And niggas is getting hurt out there, man. So you know what I'm going to say. Fuck nah. Lil Saul is not bad football, man.
Now look, if look, Prince Jern lived out there, he wasn't, you know, a hard body like he is. Nah, he wouldn't play either. Like, I don't blame my cousin for not letting his son play out there in that league. Cause his son frail. He look, you know, he's highly slammable. He plays soccer. Not saying nothing wrong with soccer players, but soccer players not football players. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, and I can understand why he don't want his kids out there. You know,
it's definitely position based. Like, if my son would end up being a lineman, I'd probably be like, you know what?
Yes.
Yes. If they trying to put him at running back, receiver, quarterback, I'd fuck no.
You're not playing no speed position, no skill position, son.
You
get your ass off that
track. You about to go to track, dog. This is not going to happen, man. There's no way. And y'all got to understand, when we're talking about concussions getting laid out, we're not being facetious. These motherfuckers are unconscious. This nigga, he had to stay, out? Four weeks?
Yeah. But he was a bigger boy. But he was older, though. He was older. Like, that was the brother, the older brother. But still, though, you know, I mean, little kids get laid the fuck out, man.
Done. I've never seen a kid. And it don't look like it get hit that hard, like what you said, but these cats are getting cracked.
Yes.
They get cracked and laid the fuck out. So if you're not watching Friday Night Tights yet, I don't know what's wrong with your life, but y'all definitely need to check this shit out. And get into the discussion on Twitter and holler at us on the site and all that good shit. Keeping it in football, I want to talk about Richie Incognito's trifling ass.
Man, you know I'm team Incognito, right? But go
you
ahead.
You can't still be Incognito at this point.
I told you, man.
At this point, okay, so let me give a quick rundown of what the shit happened since the last time we talked. So he goes on Twitter, and somebody let him get to Twitter. I don't know who did that shit, why they did
it. He got a Twitter. He tweeted out, congratulations to Michael Sam. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, of course he did. He was trying to look good. I mean, that same week, he also said that Jonathan Martin was his brother. He told him that, you know, he meant no ill will by what happened. And then, like, two or three days later, he told him that the truth will bury him. It's going to come out and people will see who you really are. And then a little bit later after that, the independent study comes out and proves that nigga was horrible to Jonathan Martin. Talks about, basically, they confirm everything that Jonathan Martin said and worse.
Yeah, but they was like, Incognito had like 1,000 texts for him and Martin back and forth, or them just jawing, just talking trash to each other back and forth, like, you know. Buddy, buddy shit? Like, hey,
no,
what's going on?
There's no buddy, buddy about it. I'm going to fuck your mother and make you watch. There's nothing.
See, white boys talk like this. See, that's what us black people need to understand. They got a different, you know, version of humor
when
that we don't get.
When they talk like that in the 60s,
hey,
it was followed by a noose.
White boys punch each other in the balls and laugh at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't understand
but that's some dumb shit. This shit, they went jarring. One of them niggas went jarring. Martin is contemplating suicide. So then after the study comes out, Incognito leaves Twitter. He came back, and then he apologized and says that he felt like he was drugged through the mud by his best friend. Nigga, what?
Told you. And then that's when he released 1,000 text messages showing, like, look, man, he had 1,000 text messages between him and Martin that wasn't on that bullshit. That's why I was like,
they came out, that was included in the study.
Oh, okay.
That was included in the study. This shit, those texts came out like last or Monday before last. Like, that came out before the independent study started. And that's why everybody was defending Incognito. It was like, well, look at that. The study comes back and shows that Incognito was harassing Martin. He was harassing an assistant coach and somebody else with the staff.
It was like a trainer. Yeah, it was like a trainer, too.
He's a fucking, he's Biff from Back to the Future. He's Biff from Back to the Future, dog. So at this point, man, it's pretty clear that Incognito's a piece of shit.
But then they throw the Pouncey got thrown in it too.
Yeah,
so because
Pouncey was doing it too.
So doesn't that lead you to question the character of Mr. Martin? He's a punk. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, you would have been in the locker room picking on him too. You'd be like, hey man, what the fuck? Everybody would.
I probably more than likely would have been Martin.
No, it's all right. Yeah.
Y'all niggas treat me like the Jonathan Martin of Nappy Afro.
It looks all right. Look, you, hey, but you fight back. You're not Jonathan Martin.
And then when I do, y'all make me sound like Richie Incognito. Whoa, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with you, son, right? You sure you're yelling?
Oh, you're incognito. You're in volatile.
Right? What's going on? You can't say that, man. I mean, the dichotomy of who you are. You can't do that, man. This shit is out of hand. But yeah, fuck incognito, man. For real. Real talk. Man. I'm glad that shit happened.
So the question, who's in the league? Excuse.
Yeah.
Who's in the league next year? Is Jonathan Martin on the team? Who gets on the team first, Jonathan Martin or Richie Incognito?
You got Michael Sam coming to the league. You got Jonathan Martin. They're going to be on the same team. I don't know where they're going, but they're going to be on the same team. Mm. Incognito's not coming.
San Diego?
Oh, come on, man. Why it's got to be San Diego?
Can't be San Francisco because, you know, it's too many tough guys in San Francisco. But I heard San Francisco has a top player that's coming out. So I'm saying it's...
It could be a good pick.
I mean, San Francisco don't need him. They don't need him.
They never need him, but having him, that's just another person in the rotation. And that would be crazy. And they got a good pick. They got like 24th. He's not going to go early anyway. It'd be a great pick for the city. It'd be a great pick for the team. Yeah. And Jonathan Martin could go there just because.
I don't see John Harbaugh having that. I'm sorry.
Having what? Sam or Incognito?
Sam. He'd take Incognito.
You think that he would take Incognito over Michael Sam?
Of course.
Incognito thinks he's a coach. Him and Harbaugh would fight the first day.
And Harbaugh would whoop his ass and he wouldn't have no problems out of him no more. And he'd be like, yo, okay, I know my role, coach. And no problems. You know what I'm saying? That, like they said, there was no leadership in the fucking locker room. There was like, there's none.
Because he was bullying all the leaders. That nigga, he was fucking with the assistant coach, dog. this is horrible, man. You fucking with the assistant coach. Hey.
I mean, why didn't management do nothing? Like I said, management probably hired Richie. Look, Richie, these are people I want out of this motherfucking team. Blam, blam, and blam. Get these motherfuckers out of here. I don't like that trainer. I mean, something going on, man. They allow this man.
That too, that nigga snitched when they first started this shit. When they first started this, he was talking about how the team, how the coaches wanted him to toughen Martin up. Remember that shit?
Yes.
Incognito's a creep, dog. So not only is he a slime ball, he's also a
hired goon. He's a hired goon.
Like, but hired goons ain't supposed to tell. Like, if that's what your job is, you roll with it.
Hey, man, when they threw him under the bus, I guess he felt like, oh, shit. There ain't no, what happened? Like, you know.
Hey, that's what.
Protect me, so fuck it. I'm going to let them know.
Stop snitching, man. Stop snitching. If you agree to do the bullshit job, when they come at your neck, you can't start telling everybody else. That motherfucker went out like Nino Brown.
I guess when the team said, hey, we had no knowledge of this, and he was like, motherfucker, what?
He went out like Nino Brown. That's not how you do it, bro.
Hey, man.
If Jonathan Martin is a bitch, then Incognito's a bitch.
Of course. But, I mean, like I said, Incognito, at least he'll fight for his. That's all I'm saying. I feel he'll bump something before Jonathan Martin.
Yeah, he'll also cost your team Martin don't a lot want of yards. He'll cost your team a lot of yards. I know. He was a Ram, and that motherfucker was penalized like shit.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Besides Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Kurt Warner, who else has wanted to actually be a Ram and play good?
Is that what you want to do today?
Oh, excuse me. It's a guy named Marshall Faulk. I forgot about the guy, Marshall Faulk. My bad.
Is that what you want to do today?
I'm just saying it's all right. You were just like, he was a Ram. Like, you got to think of the time period he was a Ram. Like, nobody wanted to be a Ram. Then he missed the glory years. He was like, fuck.
What glory years?
I mean, y'all did go to Super Bowl like 2 years in a row. It's all right.
I'm talking about for him. What did he know about glory?
But I'm saying he was a Ram, but not a Ram during the glory years. So, you know, I would have been like, fuck, I missed my boat.
That don't mean you got to go out there and get penalties, dog. It hurt us. That motherfucker was horrible, dog. He was worse than Kyle Turley. And I hate that nigga, too. Fuck both them white boys was acting up. Fuck both of them. Fuck the both of them, man.
Shout out to Azakim.
God damn. It's really what we doing today, huh?
Man, No. You don't understand. Torrey Holt is from my hometown, dog. So I would never hate on Torrey Holt. Never.
You
never.
You had to bring Isaac King into this?
Isaac King was he was a beast. But he did leave. But, I mean, it's funny.
That motherfucker bolted when he got the money, nigga. Two kickoff returns, and he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, he's saying. I can't blame him. So shout out to Isaac King, man.
We're not going to shit on the Rams today. I want to touch on this Jordan Davis trial just for a second. Now, this is a totally different outline than what we had going into the show. We didn't know if the show was going to make it, but we kind of threw some topics together for you, and we didn't read up. You know, we don't fact check, and I don't want to fuck this one blowing up. But we got to talk.
Nothing to fuck up, all right?
We would find a way to fuck it up. This is a Frocast, man. So Jordan Davis is a young black kid who was shot and killed, 17-year-old that was shot and killed by somebody trying to stand their ground. Allegedly, he was playing the music too loud in his car. The white motherfucker got mad at him, told him to turn that shit down, thought he saw a gun, and shot at the car. He shot, I forget how many shots it was into the car.
It was like 9 shots, I believe.
9 shots, 3 kids. He shot and killed Jordan Davis.
4 kids.
There's 4 kids. See, there you go. Maybe you should tell the story then.
Oh, I mean, I'm just saying, there's 4 kids in the car. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we thinking, hey, we got to open the shit. This happened like right during the Trayvon trial. So, you know, it's fresh on American mind. We see how fucked up shit is. This is a motherfucking slam dunk. We got this one. Like, we got this motherfucker going to jail.
Apparently, Michael Dunn is the motherfucker attempted murder, is what they said. Attempted murder for opening fire on a car of unarmed black teenagers.
3. So he got 3 attempted murder charges.
Yep, one for each. It was 3 kids in there, man.
No. He got, for the 3 kids, it was 4 kids.
It was 4 kids. It was 3 for those charges. Then one second murder was for
One for the murder of the actual kid. So he didn't get...
So, okay. Those were the charges he was up to. So what the attorneys allege is that the shooting was justified because he felt threatened by the teenagers. And that's really what the fuck I want to focus on right now, is that we're still a threat. Like, we've talked about this on other Frocasts. We've talked about this on other, even on some of the Fro Horseman episodes. The one we did last week, we talk about the idea that a black man doing anything in America is threatening. It don't matter what the fuck you're doing. We've seen people get shot and killed after car accidents for knocking on doors. We've seen people get shot and killed for walking in the neighborhood. And now basically what this stand your ground law is allowing people to do is to just perceive a threat out of anything and shoot the motherfuckers and say, yo, I'm justified because I felt some kind of way.
Yes.
So it goes to court. The trial was 2/3 white and didn't include any black males. It's already a problem. The verdict was reached.
Sure, you couldn't find any black. You couldn't find any black males in Jacksonville, Florida.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
None. No black dudes want to do jury duty that day.
None at all, man. They, you know, 2/3 white, no black males. This sounds like a jury of peers. Absolutely.
Yes.
The verdict was reached one day before what would have been Davis's 19th birthday, and what we're told is that he got caught on 3 counts, 3 of the 4 counts. The second degree murder count was thrown out.
Hung jury.
Hung jury on fucking second degree murder of Jordan Davis. And what he's facing is up to 60 years. Mm-hmm. That's it.
For the attempted murder of the three kids.
The other 3 counts. So, we've seen cops walk with the shit on tape. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We've seen motherfuckers walk out and it's all good. And this is terrible, dog. I didn't even know how to feel.
Hey, man, when I went to church this Sunday, I went to church and you know, it wasn't the usual sermon. We had this dude that's running for mayor. He came, he spoke, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was just talking, you know what I'm saying? He was just talking about how it's open season on brown people. He was just talking about how just because as soon as this guy seen, he was already threatened. You know, he was threatened by this guy already because he was black. Like, that's why he was like, just because you're black, you're immediately a threat. Like that. And that's fucked up. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, why? What's so threatening about my skin? Like, what makes me a threat? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a motherfucker with no motherfucking record. Like, but I'm threatening. Like, what the fuck?
I just watched a video of a black dude getting his ass whooped by a white bus driver for asking questions.
Oh, talking about the guy in Nebraska. He whooped his motherfucking ass.
He whooped his ass. MMA style. I mean,
and then threw the motherfucker off the bus in the middle. I mean, goddamn.
In the middle of the fucking street. And I really feel like, and I'm in a good part of Texas. I'm in Austin, Texas.
It's diverse.
It's a little diverse. Austin is still really white.
Yeah, it's white, but it's like really white people. It's liberal white. It ain't red state white. You know what I'm saying? It's blue state white.
Yeah. It's really, really open minded. So I'm not concerned. But as far as driving up to Dallas or Houston,
between there, shit.
Hey, I told you. Didn't I tell y'all about this? I got stopped when I was driving to Dallas to fly out. I got stopped in Waco, Texas. And that's Baylor, motherfucker. I got stopped by in Baylor.
Like RG3, nigga. They was gonna pull it up.
Hey, man, this shit. So I don't feel safe, man. I don't feel safe, flat out. This shit is crazy. How do you raise Prince Germ in a climate to where he's a threat right now? Especially he's a bigger kid too, right?
Yeah. So
he's a threat all the time.
I was telling him because he asked me because we were sitting here watching it, you know, and I was proud and I went and checked his search history on his fucking computer and he had actually read up on the Jordan Davis. I was like, damn, that shit. I seen that shit was in his thing. I said, what the fuck this little nigga doing? You know what I'm saying? So he read up on it and he came and asked me some questions and he was like, why did the boy get shot? I said, because the man, you know, so he said, you telling me kids can, somebody can shoot you. So somebody run in our house, we can kill them and we can get off of. I said, yes. And I said, but I'm gonna tell you like this. I said, they can also work the other way. You can run up on somebody and they can shoot you because they scared. I said, so you better understand you don't run up on nobody unless you got your gun. I said, because these white people, they gonna shoot your ass. White people love guns. Trust me, I have a part-time job at a sports store that sells ammo and guns. Black people, white people love fucking guns. I'm telling you, and they got a lot of guns and they got a lot of ammo. I don't never see black people in lines buying the gun, the bullets in the morning. As soon as we open up in the line, like Jordan's, like, I swear to God, I was like, why are these people hanging? When I first got the job, I was like, why are these people like camping out here? They was like, oh, they waiting for ammo. They want to be first in line for ammo. I'm like, what? I was like, what's the deal?
With the new hollow points or some shit?
Dog, just they buy up all, like, they go to all the stores early in the morning and buy up all the 22 ammo and all the ammo just because, like, whatever ammo, because it's like some law they only, you know, some law Obama. This is what white man said, yeah, Obama passed this law. Like, that should be so funny when these white people shit on, like, I love getting white people to shit on Obama just so I can know, like, oh, okay, I know who you are. You know, so I say like some neutral Obama shit, like, you know, and then I see how far they hate go, and I was like, oh, okay, you one of those. I know not to, you know, I never talk podcast. Like I tell white person, you're not going to get me to shit on. Even though I talk shit about Obama, I'm not going to shit on him in front of a white person. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I refuse to do it. Can't do it. That's a black person. That's some real nigga shit. You know, if you're a shitty ass, for me to shit on you in front of a white person, you got to be a shitty ass nigga. And I I'm just going to be some real with you, man. But yeah, but as far as getting back, man, it's just tough, like raising a son these days. Like I tell him, man, don't fuck with nobody. Like, because motherfuckers, now that you got the right to kill you, oh my God, man, it's crazy.
Sad, man. This shit is sad, and it's like I said, I don't want to go all into it because it's, I don't know what else to say anymore. God damn.
If they don't get the message, if they think we're just whining and black people complaining, it's, what do you mean? What do you mean? It's not like that. Look how violent. The stats show that more crimes are committed versus each other. Blah, 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 blah. They sit there and throw that to justify them, you know, letting this go by. But it's not cool, people. It's not. You know, it's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? We like, y'all wonder why we don't stand up when the anthem come on, or we keep our hats on, or we don't give a fuck about 9/11 and shit like that. Like, shit like that don't fucking, y'all don't understand. Like, this country never, motherfuckers never loved us. You know what I'm saying? Hey, like, that's
real, man. I sat up here and I've had this conversation with a white person trying to tell me how much the economy has changed and how much the environment has changed and how much better it is for black people and how racism is not an issue and how things are different because we got Obama. And I can't articulate how mad I was with the conversation, and I can't articulate it well enough for you to understand that you're full of shit right now. So all I can do is post shit like this. Mm-hmm. So for a good week, and I know you saw it on my Facebook, I was throwing up everything. Anytime a motherfucking white person did something to a black person, I would just put it up on Facebook. I'm like, fuck it. Here you go. Here you go. And niggas was trying to have a conversation, but they knew where I was going. I was, here you go. Here's some more shit. And one of my boys hit me up. He was like, damn, it seems like you mad at white people. I said, but I'm not doing shit. I'm just posting. Yes. I'm not even commenting. I'm just posting the shit. And I'm like, so it's not me. And you can't say it's the media. This is the shit that's happening. Like, it's one thing if the media is making up stories. It's another thing if the media is reporting the shit that happens. And the result is always the same. People walking away from the shit like nothing happened. And I'm just kind of exhausted. I'm fucking exhausted. Even when, and I got a bone to pick with Stephen A. Smith, because the situation came up with the Grizzlies giving away temporary tattoos to the fans that showed up for the game and all this shit. And Steven decided that it was his moment to speak out and say that, hey, it's the age-old topic of what is appropriate and what's not appropriate in corporate America. So what he's saying is that the basketball players are doing a terrible job of presenting an image to the kids because they got tattoos on their neck and face, and it's not going to work for corporate America. And all of that shit, hey, I don't even have an argument against that. I think that if you get a face or a neck tattoo, it's your move. It, yes. You know, that has nothing to do with black and white. That's just not a good look.
And they got to understand times have changed. Like, people, like, a face tattoo is like, it's not shock value no more. Like, I mean, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, yeah, maybe. But right. Now it's like, motherfucker got a face tattoo. You're like, oh, shit. It ain't like that. So, go, yeah, you know.
But that's, you know, that's the thing. I'm like, hey, if you do that, that's already a different look. I'm still not even mad about that part. I feel like, yeah, you can't expect to walk in the bank if you got a fucking teardrop on your face tattoo. It's probably not going to work out. But when he started talking about having what he called them finger locks, I don't know, ladies, you have to let me know what the fuck a finger lock is. I think he meant sister lock. I'm not sure. But he started talking about basically having locks and having afro and having a high top fade and a mohawk and working in corporate America, how that wasn't a good look and how he needs to keep his haircut. Wait, the reason he has his haircut like that is so it's more acceptable for ESPN and shit like that. And I vehemently disagree with that bullshit.
Well, no, maybe he was saying that. Was he saying he agrees with this type of, or is he doing it because this is what the corporate heads tell me I have to wear my hair like this, or that he was?
No,
doing
he agrees. That's why he does it. Is that he totally agrees with it. He's a kind of conservative about his views and shit. So he's saying that it's not a good look for black folks to try and get jobs like that and go so far with locks. And I was like, dude, this is the story that he said. He said that a good friend of his was in the fashion industry. Now, I don't know about you, Jeremy, but when I hear in the fashion industry, I'm thinking that you're upper level. You're not working at Marshall's.
Yes.
So you're working somewhere in manufacturing or buying or some shit like that.
Yes.
And if we know anything about fashion, 99% of them are gay black males. Or gay males. I won't even say black males. Are gay males, and they're all very eccentric.
I'm going to go 100%, so all right.
That works.
I'm going to push it.
That works for me. It's a lot of motherfuckers living their life on Madden doing fashion. And there's nothing wrong with that shit. But now, what his point was that she works in fashion industry, and she showed up to work one day with these finger locks, and her boss said, you know, it's a great expression. Do what you want to do, but you can't represent this company with these. And she got fired.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Have you seen the niggas doing fashion?
Hey, yes. There's some weird looking. I mean, maybe.
There's no way. There's no way you telling me that Mrs. J got a problem with your girl having sister locks and this motherfucker got on hot pants and high heels. You're not telling me that shit. So my point is in bringing that up and bringing this, trying to bring this full circle is that outside, even with all this shit going on outside of us, there's still a certain amount of internal bullshit that we keep representing and propagating and we continue going on. And we brought this up with Dove's article talking about this in corporate America. I don't know who the fuck these people are that the people work for, but when I had locks down on my back, it was the greatest employment time of my life. 5 or 6 years of constantly getting promoted, constantly getting raises, constantly shaking hands with ballers. I'm talking about Six Flag CEOs and all these travel industries and souvenirs and amusement parks and Hard Rock Cafes and all these people we're meeting, and I'm doing face-to-face interviews and talking and chilling with goddamn arm tattoos. That's me. But I didn't have no issues. Hair down my back, no issues. But when we get black folks talking about it, we gotta go ahead and we gotta cut our hair and we gotta get fades and get lineups and we can't have locks. And that rejection of who you fucking naturally are is just as stupid as shooting a motherfucker because you feel threatened. It's unfounded bullshit.
Isn't there an HBCU that has a graduate school that has a...
Exactly. Morehouse does it.
Wow. Well, which one? For what? Like?
Morehouse is really strict.
Oh, okay. That's a problem. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
They started with the whole you can't dress like a girl thing, which is fine. Okay. But Morehouse also says that you can't, from what I heard, allegedly, you know how this goes. You can't have locks. You can't have trendy hairstyles, so to speak. So
in graduate school, because I know it's not undergrad. Because right. My brother-in-law graduated from that. He had dreads, so I know that one.
Yeah. No, it's the grad school.
But I think it's like Howard too, though. I think Howard do it, and it's Hampton. One of them H
schools. I think it's Hampton. It's not Howard.
Okay.
It's Hampton. The other HU, as they call it. But I feel like the problem with that thought process is that we still feel like we need...
This is a black school, though, so, all right? So, come on, man.
What do you mean?
This is a black school saying no dreads, no, you know what I'm saying, like, God, no afros. You know, this is a black school saying that. So, how you feel about that?
That's why I'm mad. It's because that's us. That's us being, we're still rejecting part of ourselves to fit in to what we think society is. And white people don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're not concerned. Other than wanting to touch your hair, they give no shits. They think afros is cool. I can't tell you how many white people have wanted to pick my hair. You know what I'm saying? And you can take that how you want to. You, oh, that's offensive as shit. But
damn it, close. We almost got one. Oh, the magical Negro hair. They're going to touch it.
You know, they may be trying to pet me or call it what you want to, but they're not holding me back from opportunities for the shit. Black folks are quick to tell me that you got to cut your hair. You need to do this. You need to do that. These black guys with their pants down are killing society. And God damn, lighten up, niggas.
Mm.
Lighten up, niggas. Y'all focus on the wrong shit. For real. How about you worry about why your kid doesn't know shit outside of time for football practice? I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seen nobody do homework on that goddamn show. Have you? I heard him talk about it, but I haven't seen anybody filling out any fucking homework.
Well, I seen one on the Outlaws that time. One of their best players, they read his report card out. He had all A's, high A's, so, you know.
There you go. He was, you know, the leader of the team and shit like that. That's dope. But we definitely focus on the wrong shit. And so we got motherfuckers killing us because it's open season. And in the meantime, we still trying to worry about whose hair looks good and where you getting tattoos and what image basketball players are sending to our kids. Y'all need to get that shit together, man.
Exactly.
This shit is out of hand.
One thing. I did fact check, and it was Hampton's Business School, people. One of the first times we ever fact checked anything on the Saul Wright King Journal show, just so y'all know.
I told you, Hampton
Business School.
HU, man. Them motherfuckers know something else, man. Speaking of shit that's out of hand, the George Zimmerman celebrity fight versus DMX was canceled.
Yay!
You know, everybody rejoice. We're glad that shit happened.
Get to see DMX get his ass whooped on TV, because that's what was going to happen, people.
Do you think it was because of the petition or not?
I think it was a petition. It was a petition, because somebody, you know, it was in bad taste, because I'm pretty sure people was like, you know, because he said it was very lucrative. He said the money was still out there, but... He did some thinking, and, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody's like, come on, man, we'll get somebody else down the line. I promise you somebody else. Just drop him. We'll give you Pee Wee Herman. Or somebody, you know, it was some bullshit.
I think one of them goons got to him, man. One of them
I think more of a somebody else like, we'll make it up to you. We'll get you, you know, I'm just sure, you know, that's all it was. Cause, you
know. I don't know. It's a lot of niggas out there with nothing to lose, and they put his name out there as soon as this shit happened. Somebody might have tapped on that window with the 4-5. Yo, that shit can't go down, bro.
Hey, look, I wouldn't put it past nobody now. I'm not saying that is an acceptable business practice, but I understand.
Yeah, that shit might have went down, bro, because he said he had a change of heart. Mm. I don't know anybody has a change of heart when it comes to cash like that.
Yeah, it sounds like some wise guys got to him.
Yeah, somebody said, bro, it can't happen like that. But let's drop some music into the show, man. We're going to come back with, I guess, call it the main topic. It's one we didn't get to last week. We meant to talk about this, but it didn't happen. Valentine's Day. Now, I've been told, Jerm, that we can't talk about relationships.
Not single relationships.
Yeah, we can't talk about that. So we're not going to talk about relationships, but we do need to chime in on this Valentine's Day. So before we get into that, man, let's get into some music. This is episode 104 of the Frocast. I'm your man, Saul Wright, sitting in with King Jerm. Here's some music. We'll be back after the break.
NappyAfro.com.
Yeah. Check it. I was a nigga in my younger days. I even went through the phase as the angry ass black man. I played a Pan-African for a week until I rocked up in Seattle when that racy shit ceased. I met some sisters out in Mozambique who asked me what part in Africa was my fam tree. It would have to be Reunion, an island on the coast that was conquered by the French. French a long time ago. A true foe like a Francois camp shot. I gotta stand by my blood like blood. Though I am not them, I pretend to be me every now and then. Even though some days I wasn't proud of Ken, I was childish then. Found a style again, lost myself trying to follow men. Reading books to fill this hollow skin. Couldn't swim till they found me on the shallow end. Used to win back when I didn't know how to win. And now I spend money trying to keep my smile grinning. Grim living foul, feeling thinner than I am now. Not to sin, but religion isn't in me anymore. So the Lord doesn't care if I'm sore, cause I'm bored. I'm sick of thinking what I'm here for, I'm not sure. I'm trying to be content with that, but fuck that. I want my love back, my lust, my trust back. And keep this freedom, I don't wanna rap. I'm trying to be alive again. Wanna feel like I can fly again. They say the limit is the sky, but I'm sick of getting high. I don't wanna have to die just to feel like I'm alive. I just wanna be I wanna see me in your eyes again. Put this love between your thighs, wanna give another life. I don't wanna have to die before I get to feel alive. I just wanna live my life. I'm only I was a painter in my last lifetime. Now I write rhymes like I fight crime. Living life blind, trying to find peace. With this girl on my mind, I can't find me. Watching Amelie, hoping I'ma be the one that she finds. Can't keep living life and rewind. I used to fast on the hog, now I eat swine. And can't stop smoking, so I keep trying. In these times when a peace of mind's not a goal, it's a grave, I be racing to it, holding hope. Reject the change, cause the pain feels realer than the pleasure. Rocking sweaters when the weather's sunny. Funny fellow from the yellow, but I watch so many foreign films. I feel foreign every morning, cooking full course meals like I'm starving. Hardly say grace or say thanks for another day. Even though I'm grateful, I try to show it in other ways. I used to give bums change till I change. Kinda strange, cause I'm richer than I was when I gave. Got a gang of friends that I don't call or hang with. Even though I know they on that same shit. Aimless shit, I must seem like I don't dream at all. My mom says that I should draw again, but I don't wanna pen. I just wanna live, have kids by your crib like the old days. Whatever happened, I'm alive again. Wanna feel like I could fly again. They say the limit is the sky, but I'm sick of getting high. I don't wanna have to die just to feel like I'm alive. I just wanna be you know. I wanna see me in your eyes again. Put this love between your thighs, wanna give another life. I don't wanna have to die before I get to feel alive again. I just wanna live my life.
I know I act like I'm stuck in a bohemian daze. You said you love me, so don't rush me. Love is patient, and now you gotta trust me to take form. Like the canvas of the Grand Canyon, product of a beautiful storm, or an unborn, carried just below the heart, quietly preparing for a start. Let me, Michelangelo, my Sistine Chapel. You know they say Rome wasn't built in a day, and diamonds need a while before they hit the display. So I guess I see myself in a similar way. I'm paced like my mama in the kitchen whipping, always mixing up and fixing. Begged it for a taste and she said it wasn't ready. She stir it up slow when she cook it up steady. This is not a racetrack, living in the ASAP. I'm just trying to do it justice when it play back. Sometimes I gotta stall the BPM so I can weave these dreams and polish up these gems. In the end, I got love for the showbiz, but sometimes you gotta stop and smell the roses. Keeping up with the Kardashians and Joneses, nah, I take my time and compose this.
They say greatness get better with time. They say concrete roses hard to find. Sit inside my room and let these thoughts bloom. It's a secret garden in my mind.
Okay, buffering, creativity suffering. When you're bustling, hustling for the numbers in, you miss the journey if you climb too fast. The beauty of the struggle when it comes to pass. Amateurs, swear they need a balancer. I want that legendary like Excalibur. Chasing calibers, liberated as a bachelor. Traveler, never falling victim to these calendars. Rough draft after rough draft, no staff, perfecting all my abstract craft. And now they calling me celebrity. Only thing I give a damn about is my integrity. They play the game like checkers when I'm talking about chess. Trying to do more when I'm talking about less. I stress, quantity ain't always quality. So let me formulate my prophecy.
When the lights get low, you notice I am the sun. The winter time with snow, but only little you know how it still breathe. Give me the keys, some resuscitating the game. See me in CPR, my name is a gun cock, gunshot. Dead and I won't stop, gun cock, gunshot. Head in the palm box, with a dozen roses. Holeless with a gift card, gun cock, gunshot. Flowers on your mom's shirt.
They say greatness get better with time. They say concrete roses hard to find. Sit inside my room and let these
times. Ty, you don't have to fuck with it.
It's a secret garden in my
Division One shit. Yeah.
I see two of my bitches in the club, but they don't know about each other. Wouldn't I be a pimp if I set them up to have a threesome with your boy? If they not too paranoid, one of my chicks, she straight from Vallejo. She be in the 80. And she got a boyfriend, she got a boyfriend, but she only love him for his back, bro. She texts me like, I wish I was with you and not with him.
I hear the back like,
well, if you ditch that nigga, we can get it popping then.
Turn the lights on.
And later on, she came over. I already had a pretty little thing over. She said, baby girl, look good as fuck. I see two of my bitches in the club. They don't know about each other. Wouldn't I be a pimp if I set them up to have a threesome with your boy?
Yeah.
If they're not too paranoid.
Now I be on the west side throwing up my set high. D1, that's my only gang. And all the bad bitches show a nigga love. The scared hoes running like they owe me change. I heard mustard on the beat, and I'm fucking with a freak. Ty rolling up the weed, bitches in the back seat. And when she busts it open, baby girl, you better eat. And if you don't, get the stepping like you pledging Greek. You know it's Rick. Same nigga with the lights on, dark skin nigga with the ice on. Out in Vegas, why the fight on? Pretty bitches blowing dice for him. Your baby mama might know him. You should be nice to him. Keep a poker face, pull it out and poke a face. Sucker nigga, you should know your place. I see your hoe, meet your hoe, feed the hoe, and get your hoe replaced. Big bills, never lowercase.
I see two of my bitches in the club, and they don't know about each other. Wouldn't I be a pimp if I set them up? Have a threesome with your boy, if they not too paranoid.
Shout out to Dollar Sign. You got one, nigga. DJ Mustard. Mustard on the beat, ho. The whole West Coast. The Bay. L.A. Turn the lights on.
I'd be a good ass side hoe. Y'all bitches be fucking it up when y'all start putting it all on Instagram. Don't you know you'll get a lot more shit if you shut the fuck up?
So, without getting into extra long relationship talk, I just want to talk about Valentine's Day, which was last week. How was your Valentine's Day, sir? Wait, do I need to pause that?
Nah, man, that's unpausable.
I'm good.
That's
okay.
Yeah, that's good. Oh well. Okay. Actually, me and my wife, we spent Valentine's Day watching House of Cards. I mean,
we gonna do this on the show?
Hey, that's you asked me how my Valentine's Day. That's what we did. I mean, you know. I mean, we've been together so long, man. We gave each other a card, and that was it. And we just, like, chilled. Like, watch House of Cards all day. We made a Netflix day. Like, when she got home from work, we sat down and watched. I had to go to work the next morning, so it wasn't really like, yeah. We only had, like, 5-6 hours together, but we spent it watching the show. You know, it was just, eh. Normal, like nothing. Like my homeboy, you know, telling me, oh yeah, we going to Jacksonville, blah, 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 blah. We riding down to the beach. Hey man, do your thing, dog. Do your thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's that, and y'all got what, 10 years in the game?
Yeah, man. Long time.
It's not required after a certain point. I just feel like, you know, some people say the magic wears out in long-term relationships, and it doesn't. You just settle into a routine, and that shit's not required.
I got to show her I love. She's special on September the 13th, August the 4th, you know, just any day. So any day could be Valentine's Day when you marry, man. It ain't just got to be. Valentine's Day is for people, boyfriend, girlfriend, single niggas trying to fuck. That's all it's for, man. Let's not sugarcoat it. There's nothing to, you know.
I'm not going to hate on Valentine's Day, people. It's just, it's not my thing. It's not my thing. And I guess that I have to tell you why it's not my thing. I guess we need to talk about worst Valentine's Days at some point. I know we talked about it before, but I mentioned this on one of the episodes, probably the last Valentine's Day episode. Grade school. Yes, I'm going all the way back. This is when I last celebrated that shit. In grade school, I took my allowance money, bought this girl that I liked a necklace. I was going to ask her to be my girlfriend the whole nine. If you're from St. Louis, you know where Grandpa Pigeons is. The one on the Rock Road. I went up in there and found this dope-ass necklace I just bought with my little allowance money. I'm feeling proud the next day, go to school, you know what I'm saying? Bow! Opened the box. It even had the little box with the velvet on the shit. Bow! Like, you know, will you go with me? Nigga, that record screeched loud as fuck. Nah, I can't take that. What's up with your boy, though? That was the last time, nigga, I gave a fuck on Valentine's Day. I have had positive experience on Valentine's Day. I had this dope-ass chick when I was first working at shoe store in St. Louis. First manager job. I'm fucking 19. Assistant manager. I just feel like saying that because I feel like bragging. And she came in and we talking about Valentine's Day, and I'm still doing my grumpy face on it. Man, I don't celebrate that shit. No, I still don't do that. Why not? You ain't got a Valentine's? Nah. So the chick leaves. We have a good conversation. She leaves. She comes back with a card and some candy. It tells me happy Valentine's Day. Best day ever. But I still don't celebrate that shit. I just feel like, because as nice as that was, I thought it was dope. I still feel like there's nothing behind it. And so why bother? I'm a real, Saul loves the ladies, and I'm a real sappy motherfucker. I do all this corny shit all year round. One day is nothing special for me, so I don't celebrate it. Mrs. Wright don't celebrate it, and it just works out perfect that way for me, so I don't fuck with Valentine's Day. What about you, man? What's your worst and best Valentine's Day story?
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to start out with my best Valentine's Day story. So, one day, me and this chick, we sitting around chilling, you know, doing the Valentine's Day thing, you know, well, we probably smoked a blunt or something, you know, probably did some dumb shit like that. But anyway, so, you know, I'm about to get down, you know what I'm saying, about to, you know, give her the black hammer, and you know what I'm saying, and then I get a phone call. Yo, what's up? It's my boy. He like, yo, some niggas trying to jump me. I'm like, what? For real? Yo, man, we about to come scoop you up. We about to ride up on these fools. So I'm like, all right, bet. So I tell old girl, look, I go handle some business and be right back. So we go up to the college. My boy Big B get out of the car. And a nigga named Big B. So you can just assume he a big nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Big B get out of the car like, yo, which one of them niggas tried to jump you? He pointed to this one dude. So Big B just runs up. Bow! Hit this nigga in his face. Bow! Just drop him. He like, what you hit me for? I ain't even do nothing. And then dude's like, no, it wasn't him. It was that guy right there. So Big B done slapped the wrong nigga already. Boom. So Big B run up to the other nigga. Boom. Drop this nigga. So the other dude, he runs up and started beating on some other guy. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, damn, man, I could be in some pussy right now. But I'm here watching these niggas fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that definitely make you question who the fuck you hanging out with, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was just like, Valentine's Day, you're not supposed to be doing this shit on Valentine's Day when you got a chick back at the crib. You know what I'm saying? I said, this is the craziest shit ever. So that's probably my best Valentine's Day story. You know, outside of the ones I've been married to, the loveliest woman that I married to, Queen Germ. Outside of those. These are all, I don't compare them. These are my single ones. And my worst had to be, I was probably 18. I was new on the scene, nose was a little green, all that shit rhymed, that was unintentional. This girl named Sherry, boop! And
stupid, man.
And so, you know, this chick, I don't know, she had a fatty, I'm talking about a fatty, and she was short. And, you know, everything was just like, so I used to just spend money on it. While I was 18, I had a good-ass job. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had no money to spend it on nothing. You know, this was a time when I would just look at my bank account and I have $800-$900 in my checking account. You know, I'm just like, oh yes. You know what I'm saying? Just like in my checking account. Plus I got $200 in my pocket. I just had money on me for no reason. I had a good job anyway.
Right.
Take up anything. We used to go out and get a room every weekend. I'm talking about going out to eat. So anyway, Valentine's Day come, we go to this store called Express in the Mall. You know, I say, hey, I'm buy you an outfit. Okay, next thing I know, outfit turned into like 4 pair of pants, about 6 shirts, 2 pair of shoes, a couple belts.
Damn, what a wardrobe, nigga.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, back then, you know, this was fucking 90s people. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so it's fucking $275 in the store. Then the bitch, then the chick had the nerve. We walking through the mall. She sees somebody walk with this big old bear. Ooh, I want one of those.
Damn. She got you with the big body bear, dog?
I go buy the bear, too. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Then, this is the ultimate. So
we leave like $40, $50.
Oh, yeah. So then, buy her. Man, I end up buying this girl a car radio.
What?
Listen, man, I used to just, man... Dog, I used to get her nails done, just
throw it in the bag. Oh,
yes, that's how I used to treat her, man. But see, that's the thing. She used to come around, you know. I just like showing off to my boys because I'd be like, look, nigga, y'all can't get no. I mean, yes, it was costing me a lot, but you know, just a stunt for the boys, man. But you know, that was the old 18-year-old me, you know.
God damn,
long 5 years.
Is it tricking if you're buying all this stuff for, let's say it's just a chick that you digging, you don't expect nothing from it, you're not doing it to try and get closer to the pussy. Is it still tricking if you're buying and spending time and doing all that cakey shit for somebody just because you like making them feel good? Is it still tricking?
Yes, it's tricking. I mean, it's tricking. It's tricking all the way. It's tricking.
I thought it was tricking was if you were trying to get some shit.
Tricking is if you spending money, you know, on her, like, even if you're not fucking, if you just giving a girl money, that's tricking. Or if you giving a dude money, that you tricking. You know what I'm saying? You tricking off on them. That's how the statement originated.
Damn. Niggas was tricking then, because I went, you know, even though I don't celebrate Valentine's Day, we did go out Valentine's Day weekend. We went bowling. For old folks, that's going out. You know what I'm saying? We actually put on clothes with collars and shit like that. I put on a fucking polo and rolled out. And we went bowling. And it was a lot of side tricks out there. You know what I'm saying? Valentine's Day was Friday. This was Saturday. I saw a lot of flowers and Valentine's Day balloons in the bowling alley. So, a lot of you chicks that thought you was the main chick. I guess we need to outline this for the chicks right now.
Sign that you aside, right?
I'm just trying to help. I mean, we can't give relationship advice, so we got to give something, right? We gotta have something. We've been married for 9 or 10 years. Maybe we know.
So we should know about side chicks.
We should at least.
Not saying we do.
Side chicks should be
something we should be able to speak on. You know.
Yeah.
What I'm
I mean, maybe we could do that part effectively.
Yeah.
If you called and text all day Friday, and didn't get a call or text back till Saturday, you probably a side chick.
If your meal came in a brown bag. Like from a restaurant. If it was carry out, you are a side chick.
And you got the leftover meal. God damn, that's cold blooded. If the flower that you received, and notice I said flower, no S. If the flower that you received has a barcode on the side, you probably a side chick. He got that when he filled up on pump 3. Let me get 5 on pump 3. And that rose, and it'll be $6. That's what you'll probably side chick.
If your Valentine's Day card smells like cigarette smoke because he bought it out of a fucking convenience store, you are a side chick.
If instead of getting a box of candies, you got that V, that heart-shaped box of candies, and there's only about 3 of them bitches, You probably a side chick. He got that from Walgreens on clearance the day after Valentine's Day. Oh yeah, he picked that up Saturday morning. He got that shit for the love.
If he didn't take you to the movies to see the new Kevin Hart movie that dropped on Valentine's Day, but y'all watched it on the 15th on bootleg, you're a side chick.
Definitely, like you are the most side of chicks right now. If your date, your Valentine's Day dinner, was at Red Lobster or Applebee's on Saturday, you are most definitely the side chick. I'm just saying.
If you got a PlayStation or Xbox at your house and you don't play it, you are the side chick.
Oh, you are definitely. You are definitely the side chick. Even more so, if you got a Xbox or PlayStation at your house and he wasn't there Friday, you are the sidest of all chicks.
He don't even make you take your clothes home with you when you leave.
Yeah, you are definitely the side chick without fail. If you don't know where that nigga lives, you the side chick.
Or if you really think he live in his mama house, you a side chick.
Side chick, nigga. Side chick, man. I'm just saying, it was interesting to see the people on Twitter and, you know, the post Valentine's Day. I'm going out with my baby, and all the chicks that were out at the fucking bowling alley the day after Valentine's Day really thinking they was living it up. It's rough, man. It's tough in the streets out there for y'all. I don't know how single folks do it, man.
I don't either, man. But shout out to the single niggas out there, the B-Eazys and the Dubs of the world and the H2Os and, you know, y'all niggas, the Cornell, the Wedges. The Cornell, what's it called? The Cornell, the Greats and all them other niggas, man. Y'all, hey, salute, man. Y'all dealing with chicks that can't cook and $200 dates and expectations and.
Hey, don't give them no advice, though. Don't give them no advice, man.
We can't give you no advice. I'm just saying. I feel for y'all. Because I wouldn't make it in today's climate, man. I don't know how I would make it, man.
It's tough out here for these cats, man. For real. Like, on both sides. I don't understand how y'all do that shit. I don't get it. So, y'all might want to listen to, you know, if y'all ever want relationship advice, you might want to listen to the two niggas on the staff that's actually done it for a couple years. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Held out relationship. Yeah. You might want to get information from us. Stop listening to Steve Harvey's, who's on his fourth and fifth marriage. And you might want to listen to the niggas that's been here for a little bit. That's all I'm saying. We might
don't get stock advice in the barbershop.
Yeah, it's not the good move. You might want to go someplace that deals with some real money. You know what I'm saying? That has receipts. You know, that might be a good idea. I'm just saying. So, you got any shout outs for this week? Let's wrap this show up. We done talked to them. We done gave
them more than they want. My winners and losers this week, man. My loser this week is going to be, I'm going to go my winner. My winner this week is, wrote it down, man. What did I do with my paper? Anyway, probably my loser this week, I'm going to go, say what? Funny, it's all right. Funny. Did y'all hear that, people? Sawright made a funny.
Now you gonna do me. That's cold-blooded, man. Yeah.
Oh, my loser this week is Wale. Did you see him at the fucking celebrity in the All-Star weekend, the celebrity game?
Man, can we just not slander Wale? He's a good rapper.
I'm sorry. He's a good rapper, but he's a horrible basketball player. Horrible. Like,
it was a celebrity game.
But did you see that one celebrity that had like 30, almost had a triple-double?
He works with Obama, man. The fix was in.
He had a triple fucking double almost, man.
He was playing against Terrence J.
And Kevin Hart won the MVP, which I really don't understand how the fuck Kevin Hart won the MVP. But, I mean, you know, I just seen Wale highlights on YouTube. That shit was disgusting. He made niggas with dreads look bad because everybody know niggas with dreads are the most energetic niggas on the court. When you play basketball with them, they hustle. You know, you never want to guard these guys. You always want to be on your team. And my winner this week, I'm gonna go with LeBron James. Him and his wife Savannah are expecting another kid. So, hey, congratulations, LeBron. Savannah, she's very beautiful. One of the top NBA wives, must I say. You know, that's all respect to the king. No disrespect. That's my winner this week.
LeBron. Third one?
Third kid, man. And his hairline came back magically. Did you see that, man?
I saw he in the interviews without his headband on and shit. Now he flexing a little bit.
I was just like, hey, how did LeBron do it? That's all I want
to
know.
Hey, man, he went to the same Dr. Magic went to, man. They got some kind of magic in that office for real. This shit's working, man. My winner this week is probably the Outlaws. And the Colts.
I like it.
And the Colts. Yeah. They both the winners, man. I've never seen organization whip people's ass, tell them they're gonna whip their ass, and I'm talking routes, man. I'm talking 50 points. I didn't know there was a mercy rule in Lil Tykes football. 50 points, nigga, by the third quarter, they out. That shit is crazy, man. So shout out to the Outlaws of the Coast, man. I can't wait till y'all play each other. I want to see that shit. It's going to be amazing. My loser this week is Drake. Drake took issue with Rolling Stone because he was supposed to be on the cover, and they replaced him with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Why is Drake the loser? Drake's a loser because he got mad and he spoke out against it and then turned around and took it back. We got to stop apologizing for the real shit.
Yeah. Oh, so you agree with him being upset because they bumped him to...
Yeah,
they just bumped him like, so you're not going to do it on the next one? Nah, we got Katy Perry. What about the one after that? We got somebody. Ooh, what about that? I don't know, Drake. You know what I'm saying? So I understand him being mad, but you got to, man, you don't understand, man. When you're not a boss, you got to apologize, man. Like,
No, we got to stop placating that shit. How many times you be on the cover of Vibe or Source? Fuck Rolling Stones, man. It's not even a hip hop magazine. Fuck
but it's big in Drake's world. That's another 100,000 people whoever still read magazines, but that's another story. Right. You know, that might be another 100,000 album sales right there that I can understand in the business sense, but like you said, I hate apologizing. But fuck, you know, bitch. when you make something else big.
Next time you get a Vibe cover, you carry that bitch around, get it laminated on your shirt. Do something to make that one make sense. Make that make some money. Make our own shit bigger, man. Put on the fucking, get a goddamn FUBU outfit. I saw you with the Dada on in the video. You still rocking Damani Dada, man. Go ahead and put on the FUBU and put your goddamn Vibe and Source cover on there. Stop, you know, soft shoeing around these motherfuckers, man. Rolling Stone don't want you on the cover. They'd rather put a drug abuser on there. Then go for it. That's fine. But you said what you had to say, and I respect that shit. Don't take it back. You didn't say nothing wrong. They fucked up. That's they bad. Don't take your cover away from you, especially if that's something you wanted. Why would you apologize? Nah, man. We got to have our own shit, man. That's just the way it goes. We got to have our own shit. We got to stand for our own shit. So the next time Rolling Stones comes back to you to get this cover, boycott that shit.
I don't know about that. Hey, listen, man. He probably got 5 Vibe covers, 6 Source covers. He's like, man, I done that. Never done Rolling Stones.
And that needs to be
his
next shirt. Like, you apologize now, your next shirt needs to have all of your Vibe and Source covers on it. That needs a King Magazine, whatever cover.
Double XL.
Whatever cover you on, man. The Toronto Times.
Sister to sister. Word up.
What is the hype hair? Whatever. Whatever Jet Magazine cover you get that, you need to make sure that you put that shit on the shirt and wear
it.
I'm not there. You did not say highlights. Oh, shit. Hey, man. Oh, goddamn. You said highlights. Nigga, that's a really old reference, dog. Jesus Christ.
It went over a lot of you kids.
I'm in tears, nigga. Real tears, dog. Hashtag real tears. So, man, yeah, Drake, you're definitely my loser this week because you were right, and then you apologized, and I can't rock with that, man. Don't apologize. Exactly. Any mistakes I made on this episode, I don't apologize for shit.
Exactly, man. I got one more loser to add. Kanye fucking West, man.
Why is Kanye a loser this week?
Did you see? Because his little rant he just had at the Penn State concert when he was telling everybody shut the fuck up and Charlamagne, what have you done in your last 10 years and shut the fuck up, Sway. You ain't, you know, how you talking shit now, but you was just on the interview with him smiling and giggling up. You weren't getting all tough with him then, but now you want to get tough in a room full of white kids. And this right after you jumped on another kid, you know, like Kanye, man, come on, man. That was a very whole move. And like Charlamagne said, he sounds like a bitter single woman.
So what you're telling me is that Kanye was in the studio sitting next to Charlamagne, who was calling him out and saying that he was doing extra shit, and Kanye didn't lash out. He was in the studio with Sway, and Sway checked him and said, we could turn all these mics off.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up apologizing and saying no disrespect. Mm-hmm. But then he got on stage in front of a bunch of white kids and started talking shit.
And Penn State, Penn State, Sandusky capital of the world.
Of all places. Yes. So he went to Cornholio University and decided to talk the shit up.
Yeah.
That's definitely a loser. You my loser right next to Drake. And did he come and defend Drake?
So Wale, I cancel everything I said about Wale.
Yeah, Wale lives another week, man. That's a dichotomy. You can't turn.
You have another chance to, you know, make loser. I'm sure you're going to do something, Wale. Shit. I hope not. You know what I'm saying? Because you want Maybach, but, you know, that's different.
Why do people hate Wale?
Because, man, because he... For one, Wale, he's I don't know, he getting his feelings a lot, man. I guess Twitter made him, people hate him, man. I just don't like him. I mean, I'm not a fan of his music. Like, you know, he'll make a good song, you know, a decent song every now and then, but I'm not a fan. It's just like, I'm pretty sure he's a cool person, you know, whatever, but.
I think it's hate, man. I think if Wale killed one person on the album, y'all be all on the scene.
Like I said, he don't have to. I don't mind him being himself. I just don't like, you know, rap. You can be yourself these days. You can be, you know, rap with your real name. You know, you can just come out and say, "Yo, I'm Saul Wright, nigga." Fuck, you know, niggas be like, "Oh, yo, you know,
yeah, you know." That album coming out too. That album coming out. I'm Saul Wright. That album's coming out, dog. It's gonna go double uranium. That shit's gonna be hot.
You and Tracy made collab on a mixtape, man.
Hey, man, she played the fuck out of me. I told her, I said, hey, you know, you should go ahead, because a lot of times we talk about the track she's doing and shit like that. So I was like, yo, we ought to go ahead and do a song. I had an idea and everything. And she was like, but can you rap, though? I said, oh! She played the fuck out of me. I was like, damn, is that how she going to be? And then a little bit later, I saw her tweet something. She was like, yeah, me and such need to get on the song. I was like, oh! So yeah, she played the fuck out of me, dog. So Saul Wright had to do his own debut. It had to be solo because his old girl ain't trying to get on the track with him, man.
Damn.
But I think The Gift was one of the top albums, man. Yeah, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. It's so, man. We got so many inside jokes on this shit, man. 104 episodes. Sometimes y'all have no idea what the fuck we talking about. But yes. I still think Wale The Gifted was one of the best albums all year. That's all I'm saying.
Butterfly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, man. So this has been episode 104 of the Frocast. It actually turned out pretty decent, man. You know, we had to call an audible to get the show in. If you don't like our rambling, we'll holler at you on another episode. It's just what happens, man. It's nappyafro.com. Make sure you check in and buy a shirt. store.nappyafro.com. Props to the entire staff. Everybody who follows on Twitter. The usual suspects. The outlaws, apparently. We got team moms and shit. Shout out to the other podcasts and everybody that showed us love on the show, man. This is what we do, man. We will see you on episode 105 either next week or the week after. You know how we do. We are signing off for 104. I'm Saul Wright with my homie King Germ, nappyafro.com, and we out. Peace.
Yeah, what's up? This is PTZ, aka The Thriller Man, tuning in to Nappy Afro to get the hottest and honest reviews. So if you're at work or at home, you can't go wrong. Hit up Nappy Afro. Deuces.
NappyAfro.com.